Thank you, brethren, for the prayers that you have put up for me this past week. I know Brother Gene let you know during the message that I was out, had a real difficult week, but thanks be to God. God brought me through it, and I do feel strong enough now to bring his message. Such a pleasure to be with you, especially after missing a week. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. And again, we enter our period of time we refer to as Sunday School now, a Bible study. We're going to deal with a topic today that we are all affected with, sorely affected. Today, we want to take a look at lust, L-U-S-T, lust. Before we look at the particular scriptures we're going to review today, let's understand what lust means when we use it in the Bible. A lust is a craving. A lust is a desire. A lust is a longing after. The word covet is closely aligned with the word lust. In fact, in the King James Version, you'll find that the original Greek word is translated both covet and lust. So we have a most definite tie. Now, though the word lust is most often applied in the scripture negatively, the word desire, and it's exactly the same word, lust and desire, is used in the scripture of good intent. There were prophets and righteous people. Before Christ came, who desired to see his day. Matthew 13:17 says that very thing. They desired to see his day. They craved that day. They longed to see God's Christ. In Luke 22:15, the Lord Jesus spoke of a longing in his own soul. To the apostles, he said, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." We could write that a little different way. With desire, I have longed to eat this Passover with you. This was a strong yearning in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, who indeed is our Passover. He strongly yearned to have that supper with his disciples. And let's not forget, as we again look through this word lust, Galatians 5, chapters, verses 16 and 17, Paul teaches as led by the Holy Spirit of God. He says this, "I say then, walk in the Spirit." I hope we're listening very closely now. This is at the center of the message. "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." There it is, right up front, folks. Walk in the Spirit, conduct your life as led by the Holy Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. The flesh craves wickedness. The Spirit craves holiness, righteousness. The flesh and God's Spirit are opposites. I hope that's sinking in, because folks, we are human beings and we are right in the thick of this warfare. Nonetheless, as we've just looked there into the book of Galatians, the Holy Scriptures do cast a far larger net with reference to lust from an evil perspective. Therefore, we want to begin looking closely at the evil side of lust and its dwelling place. Where does lust dwell? Folks, it dwells in the flesh. We need to understand what we're talking about when we deal with the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. The works, folks, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told in time past, that those who practice such things, the works of the flesh, such things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, folks, that's hard and fast. That's never, ever going to change. We've got to realize as well that the flesh takes on more meaning than just a part of our physical being, you know, our flesh, our skin. It is the seat of evil known as human nature. Are you with me? The seat of evil known as human nature. That's what we're talking about when we speak of the flesh. In our flesh dwells no good thing, Romans 7:18. You can't change that as well, folks. In this humanity, in this flesh, in this human nature, lies everything evil. Now, the works that we've just seen there in Galatians chapter 5 are evidence of appetites of our human nature. This is who we are, folks. Human nature is addressed very specifically in 1 Corinthians 2:13. I wonder if you've ever viewed it like this. I know just recently, just jumped off the page at me here. 1 Corinthians 2:13. The natural human being does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Now again, remember, we're talking about human nature, the natural human being. Human nature, the flesh, humanity is contrary to the Spirit of God and is the habitation of lust. We should break that down. Think about that a bit. That's a scary thought. Paul describes well the warfare. This is a warfare. The warfare in the true Christian's life, as we must deal with the sin that is still in us, in our flesh, in our human nature. I know that in our circles, we are very familiar with Romans chapter 7. I want to look at this in a narrative fashion, as I often do, from Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. And I would ask you please to listen. Please just listen as I go through this and we create a narrative which I think will be very understandable for all of us. Again, we're trying to view lust in its negative sense. Romans chapter 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would have not, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. Covetousness, folks, is a craving. And remember, I told you the close tie between coveting and lusting. You shall not covet. That is exactly the same Greek word, covet, there, that is translated lust in many other places. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all lust. I think your King James say all manner of concupiscence. Again, same Greek word for lust. Sin, taking opportunity in me, produced all lust. For I know, says Paul as he goes on, that in me, that is in my flesh, inside this skin, my friends, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but to perform what is good, I do not find. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Folks, we're between a rock and a hard place here. We are humanity. We have human nature. And sin dwells in this human nature. As long as we are in this tent and before we see the Lord Jesus Christ and he changes us, this warfare continues. It continues. So Paul says, and again, he just remarked, I'm going to read it again, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man, I. That is the way it is, literally, folks. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? That's the flesh, folks. That's the flesh. That's what we're housed in, a body of death. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I know we've gone over these verses so many times. Brother Gene has. Please listen. These verses are always going to be true as long as we're in this life. We need to understand this. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Folks, if God has quickened you, if God has regenerated you, if God has saved you through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, you, my friends, don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, which is what this verse says. If you're in Christ Jesus, you do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, that's not perfectly, of course. We realize that. Because, again, we are in this warfare with the Spirit of God warring against this spirit of humanity which still lives in us. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. If the Spirit of Christ indwells you, you are united to Christ, and you will be led by Christ, and you will obey Him. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. If you just turn back a bit to Romans 6:14, you'll see something that should build all of us up in spirit. Sin shall not rule over you. This is the way it is, friends, when you are united to Christ. He has made you free from the law of sin and death. Though you sin, yes, though sin still indwells you, yes, though you are still a fleshly person in some ways, you are free from the law of sin and death, no condemnation because of Jesus Christ and his life in you. For those who live according to the flesh, now listen, this is the heart of the message today. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those living according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, folks, if you're a Christian, and that's going to either be true or false, this is true of you. You have been equipped by God to set your mind on things of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit of Christ indwells you. For to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Once again, folks, if we're indwelt by the Spirit of God, this is within us, a spiritual mindedness producing life and peace. Now, remember, we just spoke about the fact that if you were minded after the flesh, then that would be death for you. But then it goes on speaking to those who Jesus has made free from the law of sin and death, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, once again, that's either true or it's false. The Spirit of God dwells in you, or he doesn't. And if he does, you are not in the flesh. The flesh is in you to a degree, but you are not in the flesh, dominated by the flesh. If the Spirit of God is in you, you are dominated by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Now, folks, that's the bottom line. It's the way that it is. And what we've clearly seen from these verses is that warfare between the flesh, human nature, and the Spirit of God, which are inside us. Once again, the flesh is in us. Sin is in us. Human nature is in us. But friends, the Spirit of God is in us as well. And the Spirit of God is going to finally win this battle through you and I. Please don't forget Galatians 5:17 as well. Continually have to be coming back to that. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. You know, why do I have such a difficulty day after day after day with this war against sin, with this war against myself, my own human nature? Well, it's because sin is still in us, yet the Spirit of God is there as well. And the two are warring against one another. We are equipped. It's been made very, very clear here. We are equipped to fight and win these battles. And though we do lose upon occasion, no doubt about it, we yield to the flesh at times, but we are still, folks, empowered to win the war and are promised victory in the end. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your entire spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. You see, God will do in you what is necessary for you to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. This is our hope, folks. This is our expectation. And as low as it may get for us, we must look up. We must work hard to be spiritually minded. But for now, again, as we are in this life, we remain in this warfare, hunkered down in the trenches of this life and death struggle. Oh, that we would adhere to the admonishments we get throughout the scriptures. It's all there. I mean, in multitudes and multitudes of places to help us get through these battles. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. People have gone on before us, folks. And we have examples. Thanks be to God for His Word. This battle of the flesh against the spirit has been going on since creation. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now listen to this, folks. This is very important. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. For they were strewn in the wilderness. Now this is a reference, and again, your King James has translated it a bit differently. I'm thinking about they had their bodies scattered in the wilderness as you would. But they were strewn in the wilderness, meaning that when God came upon them in judgment for not being spiritually pleasing to Him, their bodies dropped in the wilderness, and that's where their carcasses laid. That's pretty hard, but that's the way that it was, folks. Now, those things, what I just said to you, became our examples to the intent that we should not be lusters. That's exactly how this is, literally, that we should not be lusters after evil things as they also lusted. Folks, we have examples. That is example from history. Look at the book of Deuteronomy if you'd like to read that and see how God judged these people. They did not follow after Christ fully, but they yielded to their lust. They fell short of the necessary faith to trust God unto salvation, even though they ate and drank of Christ as He sustained them in the wilderness. They fell short. They fell short and yielded to their lusts, not looking to trusting in the Lord God. And oh, I say this with great shame, as far as I'm concerned, about myself. I fail so often in these areas, yielding to lusts when I'm equipped, when I need to be spiritually minded and not minded unto worldly things. I'm thinking about what Brother Gene had preached on the doing good works. Be diligent to do good works. We were foreordained unto such things. Well, folks, in this area, right here, we must be diligent to work hard, to be spiritually minded and not fleshly minded. We are created unto that kind of work. And God has before ordained us to do spiritually minded things. Now, common sense tells you that, folks. If you combine Romans 8:5 with Ephesians 2:10, you will clearly see this is purposed by God for all His people to work hard. We are ordained unto that, to be spiritually minded and not fleshly minded. James, as well, was crystal clear on the poison bite of sin. He explains it so well. When our desires, our cravings are not spiritually minded. This guy cuts right to the chase. I always enjoyed reading from the book of James, even very early on in my Christian experience. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Blessed the man who endures temptation. Now, folks, here we're not talking about tribulation and affliction. We're talking about temptation to sin. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one, now listen, folks, please listen. This comes to our problem. This comes to our lust. This comes to our flesh. This comes to the sin that indwells us. This comes to this human nature that we still have a part of in us. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lusts and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now, folks, again, this is clear. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Yet, you must have the Spirit of God to apply it to your soul, or it will mean nothing to you. You'll just go right on ahead doing what you've always done. Now, in addition to those things we've just been speaking of, there are those who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, profess to be Christians, but folks, they relentlessly pursue worldly possessions. They crave position and rank, you know, rank among humanity. They want to be high up among their fellow human beings while seeking to have more and more when it comes to material possessions. Yes, we see that in so many churches today, folks. There's absolutely no evidence whatsoever of spiritual mindedness in such thoughts. Christ is nowhere near that. 1 Timothy 6:9. But those being determined to be rich fall into temptation and a trap and many foolish and harmful lusts. Did you hear that, folks? Many foolish and harmful lusts. The inordinate affection for money, and folks, we've all been there at one time or another, will lead to many other foolish and harmful cravings needing to be satisfied. More. They need to be satisfied, as are all evil appetites. Folks, just as we need to control our appetites when it comes to what we eat physically, we need to control these spiritual appetites, folks. As true Christians, we are able to understand. As regenerated souls, we are able to understand the seriousness of yielding to the cravings of the flesh. Listen to Titus 3:3. We've all been there. Titus 3:3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived. Listen to this now. Serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We, along with all the rest, We were sorely deceived into believing that our cravings served our selfish appetites. But folks, in fact, our lusts held us captive as we served them. Now that's the hard and cold fact. Our lusts controlled us. Such is the deception of sin in human nature. Romans 6:16. Do we not know that to whom we present ourselves slaves to obey, we are that one's slave whom we obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? That's it. Just two ways, folks. Just two ways. And we're fighting that soulful warfare. And it's life and death, folks, eternal life and death that are in the offing here. This is the case when we just were speaking of here, presenting our bodies to whom we obey. This is the case when we yield to evil lusts, evil desires from the evil appetite of human nature, evil cravings. It's still there, folks. As we move toward closing, I want to look back at a verse I actually used in the last message I brought to you. Job 14:1. With all of this that we have to war against within our very souls. Listen from Job 14:1. Humanity born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We, as human beings, are a few days on this earth, as much as we like to think we've lived a long life. Folks, we got to put into action from what the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:11 and 12. He says this, Beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, again, which war against the soul. Every time that I yield to temptation, that I yield to my flesh, when I yield to my human nature, I'm warring against my own soul. And I suffer for it. I suffer for it. I can remember times doing things I knew I should not have done, and it just kept me up all night. I paid a price for that. Not a lot of fun either. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by good works. Did you hear that? Good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. So rather than you and I yielding to temptation and going along with the crowd, entering into sin, let's be spiritually minded. Let's look unto Jesus. Let's do the right thing. We're equipped to do so, folks. We have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. The Holy Scriptures, as we've seen, have told us what we must do to abstain from fleshly lusts. For to be fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, listen closely. There's no magic pill here. It's hard work. It's yielding to the Spirit of God, fighting against the spirit of the flesh. Let's set our minds on the things of the Spirit and not on things of the flesh. Focus on Christ and not on the pleasures of sin. Folks, that's a hard sale right there. That's an impossible thing for us to do in and of ourselves. But by the Spirit of God inside us, we can do this. By the Spirit of God inside us, we will do this. Or, and this is the fact, folks, if we're continually losing this battle, I mean, we're seeing very little light and we're continuing to lose this battle, we have to examine ourselves whether or not we be in the faith. We are not of Christ if we are not yielding to the Spirit. We are not of Christ if we are nothing but fleshly minded and care nothing for the spiritual mindedness which keeps us one in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I, along with you, seek you to pray for me as I will pray for you, that we might win this war, that Christ will prevail, and if we are of Christ, he will prevail. And as difficult as these times may be, we are going to make it through, and we're going to win this battle, and we're going to be made like unto Jesus Christ. And one day we'll be free completely from the presence of sin. Praying for Christ's sake. Amen.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin. Mom.